to the Sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. Here at Trinity United Methodist, we strive to be Christ's hands, feet, and heart in our community. We also invite you to join us Sunday mornings for worship service at 10 a.m. You can also watch our worship service and our Spirit 23 devotions on YouTube. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. And now we'll have special music, I Know a Name by Chris Oblock.
I come, Jesus, risen and reigning. victory, Chris. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. That was great. So if the kids would like to go to junior church or the youth also?
Yep. Children and youth can go upstairs if they like.
All right. We'll have our scripture reading from Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. And that's on page 1047 if you'd like to follow along in your Bible in the pew. On the road to Emmaus. Now, and just picture this in your mind as we read it. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they walked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor in Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What happened?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priest and all our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart you believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord is risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told them what had happened on the way and how Jesus recognized by them when he broke the bread." Thank you for your word, Lord. And now we'll have Pastor Angel Armstrong's sermon, Hope to Carry On.
I absolutely love how the Holy Spirit puts things together. This scripture is the walk to the Emmaus Road, where the disciples had their eyes miraculously opened so that they could recognize Jesus. Chris chose the song, "I Know a Name," which just so happens to be the favorite song that Mark had on his walk to Emmaus. Who's ever been on a walk to Emmaus? Awesome. Those of you who have not, please come and talk to one of us that has, because your eyes will be open to the Lord in a completely different way. This particular scripture is perhaps one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible because it gives us a hope, a solid foundation to stand on. Who needs hope? That's right. That's right. We all need hope. In this day and age, there is so much turmoil, so much chaos, so much pain, so much brokenness. We all need hope. We get that hope through God's holy word. We get that hope through coming together as family and lifting one another up. This is a fascinating scene. In fact, the gospel writer, Luke, includes this in extreme detail near the end of his gospel. It is a well-known and beloved story in the church. The story of two disciples walking down the dusty road, their hearts heavy with grief. And they walk down this road talking about how unfairly their Lord had been treated and what had happened to him. And you know what? In their heart of hearts, they had given up hope. Because you see, they expected this man, Jesus, to redeem all of Israel. And when he was crucified, they were crushed. And then, behind them is a person walking. I have to wonder, in my mind, in my spirit, how long he walked behind them, this stranger, listening to them. And then he comes up and he says, "Excuse me? I couldn't help but to hear what you were talking about, though I don't quite understand it. Could you explain it to me?" They stop and they turn around and they begin talking to him. Standing there in the middle of the road, and other travelers step past them and walk by because they're in a hurry to get to their destination before nightfall. And they look at him and they say, "Are you the only one in all of Jerusalem that has not heard of Jesus Christ and what was done to him?" Well, the stranger just stood there. And they began sharing more deeply with them. The 24th Gospel of Luke. Let me read a section of it again for you, because I believe in the power of the Holy Word of God. I believe that if we had no other living example, if we did not have church, if we did not have videos, if we did not have Bible studies, we can read this word and it can spark a heart change. In Sunday school today, we were talking about heart evaluation. You know, the word tells us that our own hearts are deceitful. They deceive us because we tend to live by our feelings. We want what we want when we want it. And when we get real strong emotions, we're absolutely sure that's the correct thing. But until we get into the Word of God, we don't know what is good for us. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all people. The chief priest and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he would be the one who would redeem Israel. Can you just imagine the grief, the pain, the sorrow, and the hopelessness that these disciples are passing on to this stranger? And what is more, it is the third day since it took place. That third day is significant. You see, he prepared his disciples. He told them, this temple will be destroyed and it will rise again on the third day. And those Pharisees, they were looking for a reason to get rid of him because he turned their world upside down. And he taught them how they should truly live. So every little thing he did, when he healed people, when he did miracles, they used it as an excuse to try to make him look bad. He said on the third day, I will rise again. They said, that's blasphemy. And they used it to crucify him. They turned around and they told the stranger, in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning and they didn't find his body. Now remember, they were told that he would rise again. But they didn't have the faith at that moment to believe in that fully. They went to the tomb. It was empty. They came and told us of a vision of angels who said he was alive. But you see, all they said was a vision of angels. They didn't say there were angels there. And those angels said, who are you looking for? He is not there. He has risen just as he said he would. And then they told this stranger, then some of our companions went to the tomb and found him just as the women had said. But they did not see him. I don't know about you, beloved, but this story has always fascinated me. This scene between two beloved disciples of our Lord, filled with sadness and despair, grief at death of a good friend, a teacher, a rabbi, one who was leading them closer to God Almighty, and our Savior himself, unknown to them, patiently listening to them. You know that he had to feel grief in his heart for them. The Bible tells us, what's the shortest verse in the Bible? He wept. Very good. He wept. He knew before he even went to Lazarus that Lazarus would die and that he would be risen up. But he still wept with Mary and Martha because of their grief and because of their despair. Now, you know, when he's listening to these two disciples, he is feeling their grief, their despair, their loss, their hopelessness, because they were counting on him to redeem all people everywhere. His nail-scarred hands are hidden deep inside of his robe because he's not quite yet ready to reveal who he is to these people. They turn around and they tell him he was a prophet in word and deed. He did mighty things. He did miracles. He restored hope. He restored faith. He taught us how to live. We had hoped, they said. They might as well have said, we used to hope, but not so much anymore. We placed our hope in him, and now he is dead and gone. He died a cruel, horrible death on the cross, having been wrongfully judged, wrongfully perceived. for those without a resurrection faith. Those who have not yet heard and believed the good news of Jesus' resurrection. For those who do not yet believe in the Easter faith, they too are without hope. And we who are his disciples now, through the reading of the word, are called to bring hope to the hopeless. We're called to meet their physical needs, to make sure they have food, to make sure they have clothing, to visit those in prison so that they don't despair too much, that they give up altogether. And then we are called to share the hope of Jesus Christ with them. Give them a hope that they can count on. Because as children of God, as those who know because we know, as those, Paul Harvey says what? The rest of the story. As we know the rest of the story, we know why the tomb was empty. And we know that death is not the end of life. When Chris was singing, "Oh, death, where is your sting now?" We who know Jesus Christ, we who know the rest of the story can remember he has been raised to life, and we can too. Has anybody ever been through really, really hard times in life? I don't know about you all, but there was a time that I was dead inside. I think we all go through some of those times. And our Lord Jesus Christ raises us up. He gives us faith. He gives us hope to continue on. Even in a crazy, chaotic world like we have now, we feel the peace that surpasses all understanding. We read the word and we have hope. There's a cemetery in Romania. I read about this, but my oldest daughter actually went there and visited. This cemetery is titled the Mary Cemetery. Mary as in Merry Christmas? The Mary Cemetery. Pretty odd name for a cemetery, isn't it? I mean, most people look at a cemetery with utter despair. For me, I know that the people there are not there. They are with their Lord, or God forbid, they are in another place. But this particular cemetery, every single grave has a carved cross raised up. It has drawings. It has colored paintings on it. It has unique things on each and every grave. And the epitaphs, that little bitty text that tells us a little about what the family thought of the person that they buried, they're really amusing. Now think about that. The Mary Cemetery. You know, those of us who have a resurrection faith, those of us who know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was raised from the grave. And Romans 8:11 tells us that same power that rose him from the grave lives inside of us. Those of us that know that look at death just a little bit differently. Now, you know, when you go visit a foreign country, they have these little travel guides, right? That tell you all the spectacular places that you must visit. Well, the people who wrote these travel guides put down that on the epitaphs, on the grave markers, is a certain philosophy regarding a way of facing death. A certain philosophy regarding a way of facing death. It is a relationship with the risen Savior. We know, because we know that He has been risen, that we can be restored, that we can be redeemed. So we view the very nature of life and death differently from other people. Jesus Christ said, "I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in me, even though he dies, yet shall he live." If you have any questions or any doubts, I ask that you would come and see me, that you would call me at some point. The Apostle Peter says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our hope as Christian people comes from God, who resides within Jesus Christ, who gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, who resides in us and gives us strength and hope to move forward. Jesus Christ died for our sins, and He won the victory over sin and death. I died, and behold, I live forevermore. I am the resurrection. I am the life. And if anyone believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Jesus Christ begs us to come to Him just where we are, to confess our sins, to put them on Him. He will wash us whiter than snow. The story of those two disciples on the road to Emmaus is faith reborn. At any time through your Christian life, have you lost faith? Have you struggled with faith? I know that I have, time and time again. And God sends me people, or a song, or He brings to mind a scripture which restores my faith. Young Helen Keller was a prisoner of her own circumstances, a child who could not see and could not hear. She had no way of communicating with the world. She had no way of understanding anything that was going on around her. Imagine living in a prison like that. And then her teacher, Ann Sullivan, took her by the hand and walked her down a familiar path to a water pump where someone was pumping water. And she took the young child and she took one hand and placed it under the water as it splashed. And she took the other hand and she spelled, "Water, water," over and over again. A completely new experience was opened up for Helen Keller. The eyes of her heart were indeed opened. She now had a way of understanding situations. And if she could understand this situation, if she could understand what her teacher was teaching her, this is water. And there's a word for it. She could understand more situations. Beloved, sometimes we're in a prison of our own circumstances. And we don't have faith, and we don't understand what's going on around us. I don't know about y'all, but I know I've been there several times in my life. And then the living Lord Jesus pours living water into my spirit, washes my mind and my heart clean, and gives me hope to go on. Friends, a breakthrough of equally breathtaking importance happened to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They were listening to this man. He joined them for dinner, and he began unpacking the scriptures in a way that they have never understood before. And the eyes of their hearts were opened. Such is the nature of faith. Faith is a gift from God, but it is also a gift that is to be developed inside of each and every one of us. In 1847, there was a young doctor in Edinburgh, Scotland, and he made an amazing discovery. Anybody know what that happens to be? Chloroform. Doesn't sound like a big deal. But this man created a way for us not to feel pain during surgery. Don't know about you, but I think that's pretty amazing. Anybody ever had surgery? Oh yeah. Would you want to be awake and have it? And feel it all? No, but that used to happen. He created a way for us not to feel pain. And although we don't use the chloroform anymore, his discovery was massive. Have you ever met people in school that wanted to get the teacher's attention? They wanted to do this? This man, Dr. Simpson, created this. He was a university, he had a professor. Was a professor at a university. He's up there teaching, and there's some guy in the back of the class that wants to get in good with him. And he raises his hand. He says, Dr. Simpson, what do you think is the greatest discovery in all the world? Well, you know what he's wanting to hear back, and he's wanting to make points. Dr. Simpson, I'm sure, understood and knew as well, but he spoke truth. He said, young man, the greatest discovery in all the world is when we discover who our Lord and Savior is and we begin walking in faith with Him, and He changes our entire life. I can just see that poor kid back there. God done got him again. You see, Dr. Simpson meant what he said. Dr. Simpson and his wife had a child, beautiful child, laughed and played. She was the center of their world. And one day, the child took ill. And nothing in that black bag, in that doctor's bag, nothing in her father's bag, nothing in her mother's possession could do anything about the illness that overtook the girl, and she died. And in that Mary cemetery, they buried their little girl. And the epitaph said, Faith Simpson, in the years of her short, short life. And on the top of it, it said, thank God for Faith Simpson, and for faith in Jesus Christ, which restores life. I get goosebumps. I get goosebumps. Oh, my word. A poet writes the following poem. The stars shine down upon the earth. The stars shine upon the sea. The stars look up to a mighty, mighty God. The stars look down to me. The stars will shine for 1,000,000 years. 1,000,000 years and a day. Because of Christ I live and love, even when the stars pass away. Such is the hope we have in being Easter people, in believing in the resurrection. May we each develop the type of faith that opened the eyes of the disciple on the road to